Gospel is. What a message. It's wonderful. Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 15. The name of the message is Release, or Released. Deuteronomy chapter 15. You ever held on to stuff and maybe had stuff bother you? And how freeing and liberating it is when you release those things? Or something's been bothering you and working you up, and then when you release it, feels like a weight's been lifted off your shoulder. Oh my, it's wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful. I know for me, when I have the freedom and the liberty to preach and proclaim the gospel, it's so wonderful when God gives you liberty and to just preach and proclaim it. Speak from my heart. It's so wonderful. And those who have been released from our sins, we speak of the one who released us. We give him glory and honor and praise, don't we? Well, let's look here in Deuteronomy chapter 15. We'll read verses 1 to 12. And we have here in this chapter a continuation of Moses' discourse from chapter 14, where Moses was bringing forth some of God's laws on clean and unclean animals, and also on tithing. And here in this chapter, he brings forth what the order for the release of debtors every 7 years. And he cautions the people not to withhold lending to their needy brethren on account of the year of release. So he says, he's telling them, just because it's the year of release, don't not help your brethren. If your brothers or sisters have a need, help them. Help them. And then he brings forth in the latter part of this chapter particularities respecting the Hebrew servant, and also particularities concerning the offering of the firstlings of the cattle to God. So let's read verses 1 to 12. We're going to focus on verses 1 to 2. But let's read the context of these verses from verse 1 to 11. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not extract it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest extract it or exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother, thine hand shall release, save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command on this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within thy gates in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shalt thou shut thy hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year of the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to the poor, and to thy needy in thy land. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. Now it says, at the end of every 7 years thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not extract it of his neighbor, or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. So I'd like us to look at verse 1 and 2 today again. And we see here that at the end of every 7 years, the Israelites were to release every man who was his debtor. Every man who was his debtor from the debt which they had accumulated and owed to them. And verse 1 and 2 here, I pray the Holy Spirit will take this and teach us gospel truths here, which we see in shadow and which find their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has released us. He's released we, who are great debtors. We owed a great debt, didn't we? We owed a debt that we could never pay. We had accumulated a debt, right? Against God. Oh, we have a great debt, and we owe for it. Well, praise be to God. The Lord Jesus Christ paid it all. He made an end of our sins as believers. How? By the sacrifice of himself in our room and place. Again, let's read verses 1 and 2. And we see here the release the Lord will give his people. Or the release the Lord would have his people give. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it's called the Lord's release. Now note here, note this wonderful transaction here called the Lord's release. The Lord's release, Jehovah's release. And it's to come at the end of 7 years. Well, seven's the number of perfection, right? It's to come at the end of 7 years. And it was according to the gracious law of God for Israel. And it was only for Israel, wasn't it? It wasn't for the whole world. It was only for Israel. It wasn't for the Romans or the Egyptians or the Hittites. It was for Israel. And even in the gracious law of God, we're to rest one day in seven, right? The Israelites were told to rest one day in seven. Now for us, Christ is our rest. We rest in him every day, don't we? He's our rest. He's our eternal rest. And in the feast days, there were 1 month and seven. And then they came every seventh year, a year of rest for the land, in which they did not till it, but they were to leave it lie fallow. And after 7 years were complete, there came on the 50th year an extraordinary year of rest in addition to the usual one. And this was called the year of Jubilee. So two things happened at the end of every 7 years. The land was first to lie fallow as a symbol of God's ownership of the land. You see, God owns everything. It's on loan to us. Right? Everything we have is on loan to us. He owns it all. I saw a picture of deep space this morning. I was looking at some stuff on the internet, and I saw a picture of deep space, and they said, well, here's a star cluster. Look at this out in the middle of nowhere. They can't explain it. Just beautiful. They've known it's been there since the 1800s, and they're just like, oh. But until they got that Hubble telescope, they didn't realize that there was literally millions of stars in the cluster. God owns all that, beloved. It's all his. It's all his. When I saw that, I thought, this just glorifies my great God. He just spoke that into existence. And there it was. Man saw it in the 1800s. It was discovered in the 1800s. And now we get to see it close up. And God's given man the knowledge to make a telescope like that so we can see into deep space and see the marvelous things that he's done. And why? And then we glorify God, don't we? We know who made that, but we also know who owns it. It's all his. It's all his. And then we see here also that fellow Israelites were released from all their debts. All their debts. That's the second thing that happened every 7 years. Now again, seven is the perfect number. 6 days of creation, and on the seventh day, God rested. And think upon this command was intended for the Israelites only, not for the Moabites, not for the Edomites, not for the Egyptians, not for any other countries all around them, not for the Romans, not for the Greeks. This was for God's chosen people. And God's chosen people would delight to do his will, right? They delight to do his will. They delight to do as he commanded. And we see here how this passage teaches us that the Lord commanded the Israelites that the creditor is to release the debtor at the end of every 7 years. The debt that his neighbor owed him was forgiven. Was forgiven. And they were not to extract it from them. They were completely and fully released from the debt. Completely. Fully. It was like they didn't even owe him anything. Which is what had happened, right? It was wiped off. It was, say you had something that was whitewashed right off. It was gone. It was gone. Oh, what a picture we have here. What a picture we have here. We see here in type the release which the Lord Jesus Christ gives to his people. And what a release we have. What a release the born-again, blood-washed children of God have. What a release we have. We are forgiven of all our sins. We are forgiven of all our debts. All our trespasses and sins. All our trespasses and sins against God, because that's who we really sinned against, isn't it? All our trespasses against fellow men. All freely forgiven. All bought and paid for. All completely released. Every one of God's children released from the debt, the great debt that we owed. Why? Well, because it's the Lord's release. And I'll tell you what, when the Lord releases someone from the debt, a sin that they owe, they are completely released. They are completely released. Well, how could this be? Because the lawgiver himself fulfilled the law in our place. The very one who gave that law at Sinai came down from heaven and lived the perfect life, fully God and fully man, and completely satisfied God's law and justice in our place. The price is paid. Well, what's the price? Well, there must be a blood sacrifice, right? Remember, Cain bought vegetables. He bought the fruit of his hands, right? But Abel bought the proper sacrifice, didn't he? And it was blood. That shows you that there's only two religions in this world. Works and grace. You can boil down every false religion into works. Every single one. And then there's grace. There's only grace and works. That's it. That's it. There are no other ones. You say, well, there's all kinds of religions. No, there's only two. Grace or works. That's it. No other ones. And oh, what free grace we see here. God's people are released in picture here. Released from all our sins. All because of the dying and doing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died as our substitute on Calvary's cross. I heard talking to Brother Norm this week, and he was talking to somebody, and the guy's a preacher. And he's been talking to him for over a year now. And the guy says, well, it's, my faith saved me. And Norm said, no, your faith didn't save you. The blood of Christ is what saves a sinner. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is a gift. And that faith comes as a result of being born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Christ saves us. Christ saves us. Faith is a gift. Faith has one object, doesn't it? But it's Christ who's released us from all our sins. It's Christ who's fulfilled the law in our place. It's Christ who has fully released us from the demands of the law. Now, the law had a rightful demand upon us, didn't it? We're sinners. It's got a rightful law. Soul that sinners, it must die. Wayne Boyd must die. And what Christ do? Scripture declares, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Crucified with Christ, yes. He died as my substitute. Christ died in the room and place of Wayne Boyd. Hallelujah. That's what my lips sing now. Praise his mighty name. And put your name in there if you're one of God's people. Isn't that wonderful? And he satisfied everything God demanded. The law said, we must die. He dies in our room and place, the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And why? For the remission of our sins. He's sinless, right? He's perfect. He's spotless. This is what makes it so incredible, that the sinless one died in the room and place of sinners. And what's the result of that? We're fully forgiven of all our debts. How many times do we sin? It's billions in our lifetime. I guarantee you, it's billions in our lifetime. Because we sin, we don't even know we sin. We sin in our thoughts, we sin in our sleep. We be awake, we're sinning, and when we're sleeping, we're sinning. Think of that. This whole mass of debt that we could never pay. Gone. As Jill's saying, he made an end of all our sins. Gone. 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 So that God doesn't even remember them anymore. My, this is the Lord's release, isn't it? We couldn't release ourselves from our own sins, could we? We couldn't release anyone else from their sins. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's dying on that cross, he's paying the price for a number that no man can number. That's Jehovah doing that. That's God incarnate in the flesh. And the debt is wiped out. Look at it. It says here, he shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it's called the Lord's release. This is according to divine command. God's telling them this. This is divine command from God. Therefore, there would be no extracting of his debt. They're not going to go back and say, man, you owed me $100,000, man. Or you owed me $10. Gone. Gone. Like, not to be remembered anymore. They're not to extract it. The debt's gone. So what loving kindness is on display here, isn't it? Oh, we'll see later how, again, it pictures the forgiveness that we have in Christ. And note it's called the Lord's release, Jehovah's release. That's what it is in the Hebrew. It's Jehovah, Jehovah's release. They were to do this because Jehovah commanded them to do this. And they were to do it with a right spirit, with a pure motive, because it's the Lord's release. They are not to give reason, or they're not to give release in their name, because this is the Lord's release. It couldn't be a release in their name because it pictured the release that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us. So they couldn't say, well, this is the release of such and such. No, it's the Lord's release. It's a picture of the release that we have in Christ of all our debt. A great debt that we could never pay. And so this release is done in the name of Jehovah, for his glory, for his honor, and for his praise. Think of if you were one of the ones who owed a vast amount of money and you were just released from it all. Think of how you'd praise the name of the Lord, eh? As a believer. Oh my. And we do our work and our labor in this life, giving the Lord all the glory for giving us the strength and knowledge to do what we do, whether it be our jobs or whether we're serving. And we do it to the best of our abilities, don't we? To glorify God. To glorify Him. The most powerful motive that a Christian can have for forgiving the debts of others is the fact that we are forgiven for Christ's sake. We are forgiven for Christ's sake. The whole reason God has mercy upon you and I as believers is for Christ's sake. Can you forgive someone who's wronged you for Christ's sake? If you are redeemed, then think about the great debt that you owed and that I owed. Think about how much we offended God by our sin. Oh my. And yet, we who are the born-again, blood-washed saints of God are fully and freely forgiven. We're forgiven for Christ's sake. You know, that used to be a swear word when my parents used growing up. And now it's so precious. For Christ's sake. I'm forgiven for Christ's sake, the scripture says. God has forgiven me because of Him. As, again, that song, God's chosen to look upon Christ and forgive me for all my sin. That's mercy, isn't it? That's grace. And so it makes it easy for us to forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ who have wronged us, doesn't it? And if you can, this is true charity, true love, true Christian love. And again, this is brought about by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not natural for us. It's not natural for us to forgive. It's not. We have to admit that, isn't it? It's not natural. I remember before the Lord saved me, I could hold a grudge. Oh man, I could get so mad at people. I could just get so angry. And now I can get angry still, right? We can still get angry, can't we? We can. Just somebody cross you and see how fast it takes. Just go off like a rocket, right? Right? But have you noticed since the Lord saved you that it's easier to let it go? That you may flare up for a while and it just goes away when you start thinking about the Lord or thinking about how much He's forgiven us. It just starts to go away. Think about the great debt. Think about the great debt of our sin. The law of God just didn't just have one claim upon us. It had millions upon millions upon millions of claims upon us for our sin. Augustus Toplater, who wrote Rock of Ages, he figured if a person worked till or lived till they were 80, they'd commit over a billion sins. Bruce Crabtree told me once, well, I got that beat. My, oh my. What a great debt we've been forgiven. So in light of the great debt which we've been forgiven and released from, it's the love of God that brought our Lord to this world. It's the love of God for us that brought Him to come here to die on Calvary's cross for us. Think of how great that love is. I guarantee you've never been loved by anyone in this world, no matter the person who loves you the most. You've never been loved as much as God loves you if you're one of His people. Don't even come close. Now, I think of how much I love my wife and love my kids, love you all. It don't even come close, though, to the love that God has for us. Isn't that incredible? It's absolutely amazing. And that love is what drove the Lord Jesus Christ to come down to this world to redeem His people from their sins, to release us from the great debt that we owed. And our love towards men, when it flows out of acts of mercy and kindness, should spring forth from the fact that Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. Moses wrote of Christ, didn't he, in the Old Testament? Scripture declares this in Luke chapter 24, verses 25 and 27. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into glory? In beginning at Moses and at all in all the prophets, he expounded unto them in the scriptures the things concerning himself. Think of what we have right here before us. We have before us the release in picture that the Lord gives to his people. Look at this again. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. Gone. Gone. Like he didn't even owe you anything. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it's called the Lord's release. Oh, how the mercy of God is set forth right here before us. The mercy of God. Now, did this debtor ask for a release? No. He owes the money, right? He knows he owes the money. He's got to pay it. But what if it's a debt that he could never pay? Well, at the end of 7 years, he is released. Totally released. Released of all that debt. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Now, the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And also put your finger in Luke chapter 4. We'll go there next after that. Galatians chapter 3. The law is a schoolmaster. Bring us to Christ. And again, this release that we see here is the Lord's release, right? And it's a picture of the great release that we have in Christ. Look at this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22 to 26. Now, law can never save. Never. All the law can do is condemn. Shows us our guilt. But it can never save. So hence, people who are trying to walk in the law and supposedly trying to fulfill the law, they're never going to do it. It's impossible. Because if you sin in one point of the law, you've broken it all. Well, we saw in Sunday school, we're all guilty before God. Look at this song in Galatians 3, 22 to 26. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin. Look at that. Everyone. All means all there. Now, there are a lot of people, you tell them they're under sin and they're sinners, they look at you and say, I'm not a sinner. Several of us have had that happen to us. People just look at you and say, I'm not a sinner. Yeah, you are. Even if you don't believe it, you are. Doesn't change the fact. You know, I used to think, I was a good person. No, I found out I was a sinner. It says there, all under sin. Every one of us who are breathing in this room, everyone who's breathing on this earth, we're all sinners. That's what it says. All under sin. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Look at that. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to what? To bring us unto Christ. That we might be what? Justified by faith. Look at that. Faith in who? The Lord Jesus Christ. What's it mean to be justified? Just as if I never sinned? That means a full forgiveness. That means all our debts before God forgiven. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under schoolmaster, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Look at that. Wonderful. Again, the release in our text is the release of how poor bankrupt debtors who cannot pay the debt that they owe are fully forgiven. And think of that in light of us. We come into this world bankrupt sinners. And we cannot pay to God the debt that we owe. Men try, though, don't they? But if God doesn't save them, it'll lead to their eternal damnation. You cannot be saved by anything you do. I cannot be saved by anything I do, and that is in thought, action, word, or deed. Nothing. Nothing. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he hath saved us. Mercy. If you're a child of God, you've received mercy. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord's released you of all that you owed. And who did you owe it to? Well, you owed it to him, didn't you? It's his law that demands that satisfaction, right? It's his justice that must be satisfied. It's him who we sinned against. And yet he releases us. Mercy! What mercy! See, the gospel is good news, isn't it? It's good news to sinners. The question is, are you a sinner? Has God shown you a sinner? Because if God shows you you're a sinner and he gives you faith to believe, you'll praise his name for the rest of your life for the great release that he's given you. It's incredible. All that we owed was paid for. Paid in full. I remember when I was a kid, they used to use stamps when you're done. I always used to like going with my dad when he bought stuff because they'd use a stamp. And sometimes the store guy would say, "You want a stamp?" Yeah. So you know, you get the stamp, you put it down there, and it'd say, "Paid in full." Or paid. Beloved, all our debt is paid. Stamped by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paid in full. Released from the great debt that we owed. And oh, what freedom we have. We are fully and freely forgiven. We're still sinners though, aren't we? Yeah. But we're forgiven. We're set free in Christ, beloved. Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. My, oh my. You know, Christ didn't come to save the righteous. He didn't come to save those Pharisees who thought they did no wrong. He came to save bankrupt sinners like you and I. That's who he came to save. Brokenhearted sinners. Look at this, Luke chapter 4, verses 17 to 19. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The poor in what? The poor in spirit. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted," brokenhearted sinners, made so by the Holy Spirit of God, showing their desperate need of Christ, "to preach deliverance to the captives." Well, we were on the slave block of sin, weren't we? We were chained in the cell of sin. We had shackles upon us. Our sin was like shackles. They've all been broken, beloved. The door's wide open in the cell now. We're set free. And we now walk in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who walk not in the flesh, but after the Spirit. No judgment. That's what that means in the Greek. No condemnation, no judgment. Why? Because all our sins was judged at Calvary's cross when the Lord Jesus Christ bore all that was demanded by God for our sins. Paid in full again by the blood of Jesus Christ. My. And he's sent to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering a sight to the blind. Were we blind? Yeah, we were blind, weren't we? We were groping around in the dark. Oh, my beloved. We were blinded by our sin. We were so blind, beloved. So blind. And then to set at liberty. That means to set free them that are bruised. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, my. And take note also, in our text, the man or woman here was set free at the end of the the 6 years, paid nothing for their liberation. They did not seek it. And yet, not having bought his liberty, he's set free. So the Lord's release, there's nothing we can do to buy that release. We owe, don't we? There's nothing that we can do to bring about that release. There's nothing we can do to merit that release. As a matter of fact, in our natural state, we don't even seek that release. Do we? He seeks us. He sought us, didn't he? Every one of us here know that the Lord sought us. We weren't looking for him. He sought us out. Why? Because he purchased us with his precious blood at Calvary's cross.
My, oh my. And we're sent away rejoicing, aren't we? Look at Deuteronomy 1 and 2 again. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught to his neighbor shall release it. And he shall not exact it of his neighbor or his brother, because it's called the Lord's release. Spurgeon brings forth here that the poor bankrupt sinner is sent away full-handed. Full-handed by free grace. All the forgiveness of our sins, justified before God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. All of our sins forgiven. We leave from this great debt we owe full, because it's all in Christ. All in him alone. All our debt is forgiven. Why? Because of the sufficient sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Because when he died, he, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, paid for everything. Paid it all. There's nothing left to be paid. Nothing. Nothing. The debt is paid in full for the blood-washed saint of God. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it's called the Lord's release. And see, we see here the release is followed up by a non-exacting of the penalty forever. Forever. In the book of Hebrews, turn if you would there, Hebrews chapter 10. We'll have to look at this. Hebrews chapter 10. You talk about fully forgiven. Yeah. Anybody ever ask you, just say, I'm fully and freely forgiven in Christ. He's done great things for me. He's done great things for me. He's forgiven me all my sins. All of them. They're paid in full. They're gone in his eyes. How do we know that? Look at this in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at this. I know we've read this before, but it's worth reading again in light of what we're looking at. This Hebrews 10 verses 16 and 17. This is the covenant that I will make with them, with God's people. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I what? Remember no more. He'll never exact the price of our sins from us. That's what we see right here. Why? Because they were all forgiven in Christ. You see how Scripture backs up Scripture? We've been released, beloved. We've been released by Jehovah. I look at these. And their sins. Put your name in there. Put your name in there. And Wayne's sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Put your name in there. That's remarkable. Never to be bought against me. Now, I still remember them. And sometimes I bow my head in shame. And then I cry out, Lord, forgive me for when I did that. You ever cry out, Lord, when am I ever going to learn? Okay? We just keep repeating the same things over and over again, don't we? Oh my. But we keep confessing our sin, don't we? Because the Scripture tells us to. Even though we know it's forgiven, we still come to him and say, Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive me. And look at that. and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. He will not exact the price for our sins because it's already been paid for by Christ. It's already forgiven. A non-extracting of the penalty forever. That's what that means right there. He'll never, ever remember our sins against us forever. Forever. Now, we remember when people wrong us, don't we? And we have a hard time letting it go. I admit it. Sometimes it's hard to let things go. I say that article helped me out tremendously in the bulletin. I just got to let things go. I've been forgiven so much. I just need to let things go. My. And God says, I won't remember the sins against you. And who did we sin against? We sinned against Him. It's His law we broke. It's His law that has to be satisfied. And the sacrifice of Christ was so incredible, so perfect, so complete, that He says, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Never to be bought up ever again. My. What mercy. What grace. We, as the people of God, have received. What a release. What a release. This is truly the Lord's release, isn't it? Truly. I won't remember your sins anymore. My Son paid for them all. And when I see you now, I see you clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Oh, my. What a picture of forgiveness we have before us. Our spiritual debt is wiped away by the redemptive blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, oh my. And we could not do anything that debt. Took chapter 7. We've been fully and freely forgiven. We're free from the condemnation of our sin. Completely free from the debt that we owed. Look at this in Luke chapter 7. We're closed with this. Verses 36 to 50. Fully, freely forgiven. Released by the Lord. Look at this. And one of the Pharisees, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Oh my, a sinner. See, the Pharisees would look at this woman and say, oh, she's such a sinner. The self-righteous would look at her and say, oh, she's such a sinner. Well, I'm glad that's in there because I'm a sinner too. Aren't you glad that's in there? This woman was a sinner. And where did she go? Right to Jesus' feet, didn't she? When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, bought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now look at this self-righteous Pharisee here. Remember Paul said that at one time he thought that he fulfilled the law when he was a Pharisee. And then God showed him what he really was. Look at this. Look at this self-righteous. You know what? I was a Pharisee when I was in religion. I really was. I'll tell you what. I praise God that he delivered me from that. Look at this though. Look at this. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him, the guy who invited him into his house, and little did he know, you know, here's God incarnate in the flesh sitting with him. He knows every thought this guy's thinking, right? He knows it all. Look at this. He spake within himself, so he didn't speak out loud. You ever speak to yourself in your head? Yeah, we all do. Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is when you start arguing with yourself, then we've got some trouble. But so he's thinking in himself, right? He's thinking in himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she's a sinner. You could just hear it dripping off his voice, couldn't you? Just a sinner with disgust, right? Oh, I thank God he's a friend of sinners. I thank God he's a friend of sinners. I'm a sinner. I thank God. Are you a sinner? Has God shown you're a sinner? Oh, my. Look at this. So there we get a glimpse of a self-righteous man's heart. Remember what we looked at in Sunday school about lording over people? Right? 2 weeks ago we looked at how people who seek standing within the church, and they seek the Lord over the Lord's people. You can't walk around them without you feeling like you're all walking on crushed glass and everything. And they seek standing, and they seek the Lord over God's people, and it's wrong. This Pharisee's a picture of that. Look at that. She's a sinner. And you know he thought that way. You know he just despised this woman. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Called him master, but he didn't really mean he was his master. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he who to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast judged rightly. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? Now, back in those days, when you entered into someone's house, it was customary for them to wash your feet. This was all customary things that they did. Because they would wear sandals, and they would have dust on their feet, and so they would wash their feet. Look at this. I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head, and they usually gave you a towel to dry your feet off. He didn't do any of that. He didn't respect the Lord Jesus Christ at all. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Wherefore I say unto her, my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. And they used to anoint people sometimes with oil when they came into their house, and it would give off a perfume-like smell. But this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Not only did she wash his feet and dry his feet off with her hair, but she anointed his feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto her, her sins, which are many, look at that, many, a debt she can't pay, right? A debt she cannot pay, never, are forgiven. She didn't ask for that, did she? She didn't seek it. She just came to the Lord's feet, crying, and washed his feet with her tears, and anointed his feet with oil. Her sins, which are many, are what? Forgiven. Oh, let that warm your heart, beloved. All your sins are forgiven. Washed clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, looked at this lady and said, Your sins are forgiven. You know, all who believe in Jesus, those words are music to our ears, isn't it? Thy sins are forgiven. How many of them? Well, there are many, but they're all forgiven. And then, of course, they said within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to thy woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. She'd been given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. She'd been born again by the Holy Spirit of God. She didn't even say a word, did she? You notice that? She didn't pray no prayer, and she didn't walk an aisle of the person's house. No. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. She didn't even speak about her faith. She's born again of the Holy Spirit of God, granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God saved her without her moving a muscle, right? Without a word of hers. Anything on her effort. That's how God saves people. That's how God saves sinners. It's a heart work, beloved. It's a heart work. And he can save you. If you're lost, he can save you without you moving a muscle. Because it's a heart work. Oh, may God give you faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ if you don't believe on him. And for we who are the redeemed of the Lord, may we praise his mighty name. And may we think this week of the great forgiveness of all our sins, the great debt that we've been released from, all because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all because of the perfect sin atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us meditate upon that this week. Let us think upon these wonderful things that we looked at today. We've been released from all our sins in Christ Jesus.